Maybe we'll spend a couple minutes now taking a look at the Ramban's Hakdama to Shemos. The Hakdama is very much the Pinas Muat Machzikas Hamruba, or Atakamas Rava Ephes. There's a lot going on in a few lines. And we got started at the end of the year talking a little bit about one of the unique features of Ramban is the fact that his parish on Torah is probably the first, at least among the major Pirushim, to have Hakdamas to Svarim. And one of the things that conveys, it expresses his perspective of Chumash, in looking both at the Pasuk, how Pasuk localized you, and also at the global, what's this parsha about, what's this series of parshas about, what's the sefer about. And in Shemot, so he opens actually with a very brief restatement of Reishis, very, very fascinating. And then he talks about Shemos, and I think in so doing raises and answers a number of big questions that might not even have bothered us until he opened our eyes. Hishlim HaKasso saved for Bereshus. We're opening Shemos because the Torah just completed Bereshus. Shehu Sefer HaYetzira B'chidosh HaOlam V'yetziras Kol Notza. What is Bereshus about? The Bereshus is Genesis. And the Tziv sort of points out, in our Gemara to Bamidbar, he doesn't say this directly, but it sounds like what he's driving at. Chazal had names for the Chumashim, not the names that we use. Names that we use tend to be much less descriptive. Just Rishis happens to fit well. Shmos Vayikra Bamidbar Dvarim, just the word that's at the beginning. The English names for the Chumashim, which we think of as very Gaddish, tend to correspond to Chazal's names. Leviticus is Torah's Kohanim, and Numbers is the Mishnah refers to Bamin Paras Chumash HaPakudim, and Deuteronomy is Mishnah Torah. Bereshis is Deuteronomy's second, is the second teaching, the second telling, Deuteronomy. Now, Bereshis is Genesis. Sefer Bereshis is Sefer HaYetzirah. It's a sefer of creating, and Kedar Ramban says that's not just the opening prakim, that's the entire sefer. Chidush HaOlam, Yetzirah Kol Notzar, and Mikrei HaAvos Kulam Shein Ke'en Yetzirah L'Zara. It's the creation of the universe, it's the creation of humanity and civilization, and it's the creation. We usually think, we might think of the bulk of Bereshis as the creation of the Jewish people. Because you have the others who are beginning the Jewish people. Rabban says, consistent with what he's been talking about since Parshas Lech Lecha, not only creating the Jewish people in the sense of these were the first Jews who gave rise to the Jewish people, in the way the Kuzri writes it, Yaakov Avinu is a turning point, he's Mitaso Shlema, he's the first one who's has a school elokis and all of his children do as well, and that's the prerequisite. Having a Jewish family is a prerequisite for building a Jewish nation. But Ramban says more than that. It's the Sefer Bereishis is the creation of all of Jewish history. Shekhan Nikrayim Tsiyure Dvarim, Lirmoz Lahodia Kol HaAsid Lavolem, Masa Avas Simon Labanim, the episodes of the, in the lives of the Avas, certainly episodes that are recorded in Chumash, whereas Ramban already told us in Parashat Lech Lecha, it was there. They are nevuos. They are poa. They're active nevuos. Poa ledinyon to represent and signify what's going to happen over the course of Jewish history. So that's Bereshis. So that was the book of beginnings, say Genesis. Achareshis from Yetzirah. And now that we've completed that with the stories of the Bnei Yaakov coming to completion at the end of Vayechi. Hizchil Sefer Acher, Be'inyin HaMasa HaBam, Ramaz Nohen. Now that we complete Ma'asa HaVasim L'Banim, now it's time to get to the Ma'asa HaBam. So let's get started, and get started with what? Nisyachei Sefer Ve'ela Shema, specifically, Be'inyin HaGolos HaRishon HaNigzar Be'Ferish, U'Ve'Gu'ula Mimenu. This is going to be Sefer HaGolos VaHaGu'ula, the first of the Galios, as we just saw last week. Vayechid Rabban reads as being the present galus. So all the galus are merumas, and that's why he's very meduyik to say the first galus, which is nigzar b'feirish. That is, all the galus are referenced, all the galus are symbolized, but only galus Mitzrayim is made explicit in the Shidush HaMikra. That, of course, is referring to Bris Ben Hatzor. In a sense, all of Chumash is, from Lech Lecha on, is the playing out, the realization of the Bris Ben Hatzor. If you think about it, Bris Ben Hatzor, my Kaddish Kol tells Avraham Avinu, is going to be a galus. The Kaddish Kol will emerge from that galus with Ruchosh Gadol, which is both financial and Matan Torah, and then they're going to get Eretz Yisrael. And that's the entire story of Chumash, from that point, from Shmos on. The galus and the emergence, and getting the story of Matan Torah, and then the rest of the mitzvahs that we learn about throughout the course of Shmos Vayikra B'mid B'dvarim, and the journey towards Eretz Yisrael. That is the entirety of Chumash, is Bris Ben Hatzor. It's unpacking the Bris Ben Hatzor, the realization of Bris Ben Hatzor. But specifically, the Golus, and so that's all of the four Chumashim. Shmos is the Golus and Geula. Golus and Geula. So then he, Kedarko, very subtly raises a major question, which ought to have bothered us if we were looking at Chumash with careful eyes. I freely admit it's never bothered me either until I saw the Rabban raise it, but it upsets me that I didn't. Ve'ele Shmos b'nei Yisrael ha'boi Mitzrayim lo. Eis Yaakov Yishu ve'esu above. The opening pasuk in Parshat Shmos. If Ruben Maver said it carefully, it sounds familiar. On two levels. Number one, in the middle of the Parsha Yigash, there's an almost identical pasuk, Ve'ele Shmos. And that's the introduction in the middle of Yigash to the list of the Shivim Nefesh, the enumeration of the Shivim Nefesh that go down to the shrine. We've heard this before. Number one, it's redundant. It's redundant in terms of content. Redundant, you know, language is redundant. And there's also a timing issue. It's not even redundant that in the next parak we heard it again. There's been a, that was by Yigash. By Yechi left us off when? The death of Yosef at the ripe old age of 110. So you would expect that the next pasuk should pick up the year later, the decade later, the century later. Instead, the next pasuk, the first pasuk of Shmos, jumps back over 70 years. You read it to Mitzrayim, Yosef is not yet 40. That's why it's in the middle of Ayigash. Ayichi already got us more than seven decades further to the death of Yaakov, to the death of Yosef. Why are we going back? Why are we stepping back? You hear it's a briefer version of what we got in far greater detail in Ayigash. There we heard about all the grandchildren. Here we just hear the names of the sons and the number Shivim Nefesh. And in Pasuk Vav, Ayamas Yosef, okay, we heard that already in Vayichi. And then Ubnei Yisrael Parvi Vayishutzu, we should have started from Pasuk Zayin. That's new material. That's new material, that's what we're up to. Okay, you can tell me maybe Pasuk Vav, we want to have continuity. Yosef died a little bit along the lines of maybe the opening psukim in Yehoshua sort of link back to Vezos HaBracha. Moshe has died, and Moshe says to Yehoshua, Moshe Avdi Meis, and now it's your turn to step up to the plate. But the opening psukim, the relisting of the Bnei Yaakov, why? And it's jumping back seven decades plus. So Rabban says, if you have an appreciation of what Sefer Shmos is about, it's not a kasha. Here he says, Nisyachet Sefer Eil Shmos bin Golos Arisha Nigzer Feresh and Gula Mimenu Vilachen. That's why we review again the names and the number of the Yordei Mitzrayim. Afal pi shekar nichtav zeh. We already heard about this in Vayigash. Why? Bavur ki ridasam sham hu reishis hagalos ki me'az hucha. It's because that's the beginning of the Galus. And this Sefer is going to... It's not just that Bereshis was the first X number of years of the history of Klal Yisrael, now we're picking up with the next leg of the story. Bereshis was about Yetzirah. So whatever's relevant to Yetzirah of the universe, of humanity and civilization, of Klal Yisrael, is there. And we're done with the Maaseh Avosim L'Banim, and that's what Bereishis ends. Shemos is the story of Golos and Geula. So whatever we need for that, if there's overlap, there isn't overlap. So you read Timit Zerayim belonged in Bereishis because it was part of the story of Yaakov and his sons, and because it's part of the Maaseh Avosim L'Banim, like we spoke about last week, in terms of playing out the Golos that were in that Golos Adam, but it has a role to play in Sefer Shmos, because, as it is, he's going to unpack more of the next couple of lines, that's the beginning of the Golos. And then, he points out this also solves another problem. If we're bothered by the beginning of Sefer Shmos, it seems like there's a handful of psukim, six or seven psukim, we're not sure why HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw fit to repeat them. The end of Sefer Shmos is absolutely flabbergasted. So here I have a Taras Chaim prints Shmos, Sefer Shmos in two halves. So this is Shmos Aleph, and it goes through Yisrael. And then volume two is Mishpatim to Pikudim. The truth is, if this is Sefer HaGolos HaGula, so you can ask, why isn't Chumash organized like the Rambam? How's that? So, Golos and Gula. So, Golos and Gula is Shmos, Fa'era, Bo, Yitzias Mitzrayim. Okay, so maybe we have B'Shalach also, because Kriyas Yamsuf was presumably in some sense a Hashlama of Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's why, presumably why Pesach goes from the day of Yitzias Mitzrayim to the day of Kriyas Yamsuf. We understand that even politically, in other words, the political Yitzia of freedom from Mitzrayim was only made permanent when the Mitzri power was eliminated. Until that point, they were out, but it wasn't clear if it was Arayah or Keva. Now the Yitzhia is Keva. So that's Gula. Anyone want to tell me we need Matan Torah also, because that was the goal of the political freedom that they attained Yitzhia's Mitzrayim, was to get the spiritual Cheres at Mamun Har Sinai. Good, so that's Yisra Mishpatim. It's important to remember Mishpatim is also part of the story of Matan Torah. The end of Mishpatim, the less famous part, is the second half, is the bris aspect of Mamre of Sinai, and Nasa V'Nishma is there. Good. And that's maybe some other time. That's why, I want to hear Rav Schechter say, that's why the Gemara in Pesachim Kuf Tazayin, I think, has a machlokes. The Mishnah talks in CBTS Mitzrayim, talks about Maskul Benos and Sayyim Shavach. One of the unique aspects of the storytelling, if you have to have a dramatic contrast, Gemara the machlokes Rav and Shmuel, where in the Haggadah do we accomplish Maskul Benos and Sayyim Shavach? Or what are we supposed to be saying? Is that Avadim Ayinu, Parv Mitzrayim Ayotzienu? Or is it Mitchila Odor Zarhe Vaseinu, Vashra Kevra Makla Vadasa? So, we are Mekayim both, but that's really a machlokas over whether it sounds like it's a machlokas or whether the focus of the story is Yitzhia itself or the goal of the Yitzhia, which was the spiritual freedom, the Mamar Arsina. Okay? And that's our favorite Rabban and Amar, maybe we'll talk about it later in the year. Famous Rabban and Amar, but Pesach the Shasir Sa'omer is the Chol HaMoed that connects Pesach and Shavuos into a single larger super yom. So we understand Sefer HaGolos VaGeulah is going to take us from Shemos through Mishpatim. But Truma Tassav Yaakov Pikudei Ma'inin Ma'in Shmiti Yitzhar Sinai Ma'in Mishkan Yitzhar Sinai. If anything, how did the Rambam organize it? And I'm being a little being a little anachronistic here, but how's the Rambam organize it? The Rambam, two of the 14 Svarim in Mishnah Torah are about Kachem, and Sefer Avodah begins with Beis HaBechira, and Klei HaMikdash Va'ovdim Bo, and then moves on to talk about Karbanos. That's exactly what you've expected. That's Truma Tetzav Yalka Pigudei. How you build a Mishkan, Big Day Kahuna, you have the Tzivu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu about it in Truma Tetzav, and Yalka Pigudei, Moshe conveys it to Jewish people and they actually accomplish it. We would expect if Vayikra is Taras Kodim, it should be Chumash Vayikra, it should be Chumash Truma. But Golos HaGeulah ends with Mishpatim. And then the next sefer is about karbanos. That's truma tetzava yakut pikud eva yikrat tzav. Mamish l'tzrama. Bez bechira klei mitzvah olden bo. And then you have the Syrian mizbeach and ma'aseh karbanos and so on and so on. So it's the questions that maybe we never even asked ourselves before. But once Rabban gets you thinking, like, what is Chumash most about? Well, once that's a category of thought, so then talk kashrar. Rabban has an incredible, incredible answer. And an answer that intertwines with another larger shita of his also, a methodological shita in how you read, how you're supposed to learn Chumash. And one of the tools that the Gemara gives us for reading Chumash is Gemara tells us that if you look at the first and ninth prakim of Bamidbar, so you notice that the byline, the time given at the beginning of Bamidbar is Rosh Chodesh Iyar of year two. The ninth parak of Bamidbar begins with Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the Jewish people that we're going to bring Karm Pesach again. We broke Karm Pesach with Mitzrayim, but now we're going to begin Pesach Doros, and that catalyzes the discussion about the question about Pesach Sheni. So it's eight prakim later, and it's a month earlier. The Gemara says, Ein mukta mucha b'Torah. Things could be out of chronological order. There was a sequence in Chumash, not necessarily chronological. Maybe it's thematic. Maybe there's something driving the sequence in Chumash other than the historical sequence. So Kayadua, Rashi understands that that's a very broad idea that can be applied very liberally. I mean that in a political sense, but if you apply it very broadly, the Ein Moktim Uchav HaTorah. The Ramban understands that the Gemara did not mean that you see in Bamidbar that this is the way Chumash often works. Ramban understood it's a much narrower concept, that sometimes the Torah will specify that things are out of order. The Ramban disagrees with Rashi and understands that you can only apply in Muktam Ruch Vatar if the Chumash itself specifies. You can't just assume, it sounds like things are out of order. Which raises a problem for the Ramban in the middle of Truma Tetzaveh, Vayakub Pude, comes Kisisa. Main story in Kisisa is Egal Zav. What's Egal Zav doing there? Rabban, what's Egal Zav doing in between Truma Tetzaveh and Yaakov Pekuda? Rabban has a Mahalach that addresses both what the whole second half of Shmos doing in Shmos as opposed to being the first half of a Yikra or the first half of Chumash Truma, and why is Kisisa where it is? And he says like this, and he talks about this more later in Sefer Shmos, but he already begins to lay it out for us here. V'hine, Hagalos einu nishlam, ad yom shuvam el mekomam, v'malos avosim yeshuvu. He says, Galus begins with the Yerides Mitzrayim. And when does Galus end? Galus ends when you return to the original state. That's what Geula is. Rav Shechter will sometimes talk about the Chumash Yom at the end of Sefer Vayikra. Talking there about Geula of Karka, Geula of Avadim, that Geula means a return to the ideal state, or a return to the ab initio state. Galus is completed when you get back to that original place. To get back to the, here specifically, getting back to the level of the Avos. So Kishiyatim Mitzrayim, Kalanus are leaving Mitzrayim, Amrishiyatim Beis Avadim, they had left slavery, they were politically free, but that's not Geula. We were still in Galus. It's interesting, we adopt the language of Paro. There was something correct when he said that we were Nevuchim v'Midbar, not necessarily the way he understood it. But Nevuch in what sense? But remember, Shmos doesn't go all the way until Klaizal get Eretz Yisrael. So he's not saying we're in Galus until we left the Midbar and got to Eretz Yisrael, but Kishabo Har Sinai, we came to Har Sinai, V'asu HaMishkan, and we make a Mishkan, V'sham HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'hishrosh Shinaso B'nehem, and at that point the Kadosh Baruch Hu not just gave us our Hashuas Hashchina, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu came back to giving us. Shav HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rebbe Moshe returned to Hashuas Hashchina, Rabbi Anna saying, that wasn't a totally new reality of Hashuas Hashchina Mishkan. That was Shav HaMayel Sabosa. That was a return to the way Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov had lived. Shaya Sod Eloka Alei Aleim. That there was a Hashuas Hashchina on something apparently to understand, if we understand so, we should only be Zocha, in the Aholim of the Avos, Veheim Heim HaMerkaza. That when Chazal speak of, and they pass it on the foot on the bottom, a voracious rabba, that Avos Heim Heim HaMerkaza, we don't fully understand who the Avos were, and we don't know what the Merkava was. But, a little bit we can understand, that the homes of the Avos, well, we would say, maybe looking at backwards, the homes of the Avos were a proto-Mishkan. Or the Mishkan, maybe the Rambam would say more correctly, was a continuation of the reality of the Avos. That the Avos' home was a Beis Hashem. The Avos' home, the home of the Avos, and you'll notice the language is usually the Ohel of the Avos. We use the term Ohel to talk about the Mishkan as well. This was a return to that reality of the Ohel of Avram, the Ohel of Yitzchak, the Ohel of Yaakov, as an address in Olam Hazeh for Shechina. And but Oz Nechshavu Geulim. At that point, we had Geulah. So let's think about that a little bit. So let's talk for a moment about Kisisa. It's a Rashi. This is a celebrated Machlokas. Rashi seems to tell us that the Chet of the Egal Azav, which is recorded in the Chumash and Parashat Kisisa, occurred before the events recorded in Truma Tetzaveh. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu we need to have a Mishkan only after the Chet of the Egal Azav. It was not in his first 40 days on Har Sinai. It was a response to Chet. They're going to need to bring karbanos. They're going to need a place. They're going to need a place where they can come to bring karbanos and achieve kapara. They need a mishkan, a response to the chet of the Egal Zav. Rashi says, "Ein mukhtum b'lucha b'Torah." The Torah records the tzivoy of mishkan truma tetzaveh before kisisa, but it in fact happens historically after Egal Zav kisisa. That's the approach of Rashi, and then the causality is clear. Chet of Egal Zav, now you need a Mishkan. Ramban holds, again, fundamentally, b'shita, methodologically, that's not an available way to read Chumash. The Eimut Tumuch Hotel for the Ramban is much more limited. And so what that means, then, is that the Tzivoy to build Mishkan preceded the Chet of Egal Zav. Which then means that's you go from a question of parshanut to a question of history to a question of hashkafa. In other words, if the tzivoy, if the way Chumash is written for Ramban locks me in to understanding that the tzivoy of Mishkan preceded, they didn't actually get around to, Moshe didn't get to tell them about it until he came down the third time from Har Sinai on Yom Kippur. So the Vayakal Pikudi, where he tells them about it and they do it, that's only after Yom Kippur, after Kisisa. But for the Ramban, the original Tzivu to Moshe Rabbeinu predated it. But what that means in Hashkafa is that the concept of Mishkan is meaningful and necessary independent of the Chet HaEgel. It's not, it wasn't a reaction to, so to speak, to Chet HaEgel. It's an ideal reality. Even had they not been chote, according to Ramban, they would have had a Mishkan. Then the question is, why? Why? So Ramban seems to say, he talks about this more later, I believe, at the beginning of Teruma, among other places. But I think he touches on it again, I believe, in Kisisa. That for the Ramban, the Mishkan is not following Kisisa. The Mishkan is following Yisra Mishpatim. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, we had an extraordinary degree of Hashuas Hashchina in B'Shalach, Rosh Hashem Chal Yom Ashal Ra'al Yichaskel Buzim Ma'asim Merkava, and then again even more so Ma'amar Har Sinai, where the entire Am Hashem became Nevi'im very briefly, and incredibly intense and entirely temporary. The Har Sinai was incredibly kadosh for a brief moment in time. But then when it was all over without leaving any remnant. You and I could walk, if we could figure out where Har Sinai actually is, which is far from clear from an archaeological perspective, if we figure out where it was, we can hike up Har Sinai. There's no Kedusha, there's no Isser, there's no Hakbalza, no nothing. Very intense, but totally ephemeral. Kodesh Baruch Hu, Rabban understands, then says to Moshe Rabbeinu, we're not going to have that level of intensity forever, but I want you to have something less intense, but far more durable. And that's the Mishkan. And that's going to be a hemshech of the Hashras HaShchina of Har Sinai. That's the goal, that's the primary objective of the Mishkan. And as Rabban points out later on, in the beginning of Truma, the psukim there make it sound like it's not about Karban. The Karbanas are almost an afterthought. Karbanas aren't mentioned much, if at all, in Parshas Truma. We hear a lot about it being the Mishkan Ha'edos. We hear a lot about the Asli Mikdash B'Shachanti. The Torah says, make a Mikdash B'Shachanti B'Socham. Mikdash means the place of Kedusha, those who study Arabic. Or if you actually study Hebrew, Mibachot, the mem at the beginning of a noun is usually a locket of mem. The mishkal, that noun format that has the mem before the shoresh, usually means it's a place of. A lot of examples. Mishkan and mikdash are places of being shochein and places of kedusha. The mikdash is you can make a place of kedusha. V'shachanti b'socham. And Kadosh Baruch says, I will dwell there. That's the primary. Rabban says, you open the Chumash. The primary purpose of Mishkan is to be a Mishkan, to be a place where Kadosh Baruch Hu shochein. Memela, once you have a place of Shina, so if you're going to bring Karbanos, it's the most logical place, the most appropriate place to bring Karbanos is in the Mishkan. But that's not what the Mishkan is about. What the Mishkan is about is v'shachanti b'socham. What is Mishkan about, says Ramban, is a hemshech of a Yisra and Mishpatim in a more permanent, lasting way. As an aside, if you look at the Ramban in the beginning of Beis HaBechira, it could be that he's blending these two. It's a very, very suggestive description. It says, we have a mitzvah saseh to make a bayis l'Hashem, where we perform aliyah l'regel and bring karbanos. You wouldn't have expected to hear a definition, and not details. This is the thumbnail portrait, the definition of a Beis HaMikdash, the opening halacha of Seir Avoda, is a place of Aliyah L'Regel and Karbanos. The Karbanos doesn't surprise, Aliyah L'Regel? Eloh Chogigim, I forget the exact language. So it could be that capturing this. In other words, Aliyah L'Regel is, you do bring Karbanos, as you know from Mishnah Chagiga, but it's more, that too, you, when you come, L'Yor Panay Rekim, you have to also bring Karbanos, but that's not the essence that. That's not the totality of Lila Rego. The essence of Lila Rego is Liros Leros, to re-strengthen one's connection with Rosh Hashanah. And in so doing, part of what you do is that you bring Karbanos. But that's not, there's much more to Lila Rego than bringing Karbanos. So it could be that the Rambam is capturing both the Ramban definition and the Rashi definition. It's a place of connection with Rosh Hashanah, and it's a place of Karbanos. Something to think about. And coming back here, Ramban says, and now we understand not only the location of Ega Azav and Truma Tetzava, but now all Truma Tetzava Yad Pikude fits in beautifully to Chumash Vayikra. If the Mishkan was fundamentally, essentially a place of Akarvas Karbanos, so then in a Hanami, then it belongs in Taurus Kohanim. But it's not. It's fundamentally geula. It's completing Har Sinai, completing Ma'amar Har Sinai, and that's exactly what he says. So that geula, the sefer goes by geula, was to back up all the way to the original when we're still at the high point, and to track the descent of Klal Yisrael and then their emergence. And working the way all the way back until they reach, as he said, Malos Havosim, we're back to The last pasuk of Shemot, Chumash Shemot, should bring us back to the first pasuk of Chumash Shemot. That's why the Chumash had to back up to get mamash the tiniest whiff of Kalal Yisrael, Bnei Yaakov, and Eretz Yisrael. We didn't even hear Eretz Yisrael. The Chumash mamash backs. We only hear the grand. Just the sons, the number 70. They're going down to Mitzrayim. They're going down, coming to Mitzrayim. Obviously, by implication, coming from somewhere, coming from Eretz Yisrael. And then we're going to watch them go down. We're going to watch them slowly, step by step. The going down is very quick. The building back is step by step. Right? The Makkos, and then Yitzias Mitzrayim, and then the Kriyas Yamsuf, and then Mamre Sinai, and then the Tzivui to build Mishkan. And then there's a regression in Kisisa, Vei Galzav. Ultimately, Moshe gets us back on track, and then Moshe tells Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael build a Mishkan, and we're still not done. So Rabban Rames, in the last line, that the Chumash Mos ends in the precisely perfect point. We know that's precisely perfect, but here we can see it's precisely perfect. Tarz Hashem Tamimu, but here you can see it. Because the completion over the course of Pikudei, everyone's building all their building all the components of the Mishkan, they bring it to Moshe Rabbeinu, puts them all together, but we're not done. When we're done is when it actually works. He puts it all together, he, so to speak, plugs it in, and it actually goes on. And the Mishkan worked. The Mishkan wasn't just to be a beautiful architectural edifice, it was to be a landing pad, so to speak, for Shechina. So the last couple of Sukkim in Pikudei say, they put it together, and then the Shechina actually moved in. And that's what Rabban says right here. The Sefer completes, when we complete the Mishkan, they actually built it, and Moshe Rabbeinu pulled the parts together. It's architecturally, physically finished, and it actually works. It actually becomes a place of Shechina. And at that very moment, Sefer Shmos is done. Because now we see Gula. Now, let's go back to the point they had been when before they left Eretz Yisrael. And that is all of Bereishis and Shmos in a few lines thereabouts.